Right. Oh, well, look, it looks like we're already... There we go. It looks like it's already started recording. It was tricking me, thinking it hadn't started. So welcome to the SEMO Marketing Podcast. That's thrown me completely now. I've forgotten where I am and who I am and all these kind of things. Before we do the introductions to our guest, my name is Simon Dell. I'm the CEO of SEMO. If this is your first time here, you spell SEMO, C-E-M-O-H. If this is not your first time here, you already know how to spell that. But you can find out more about us if you want at SEMO.com, or you can come and email me, Simon@SEMO.com, or find me on LinkedIn. We are Australia's largest fractional marketing network. We find marketing solutions to marketing problems, or growth solutions to growth problems, because we're trying not to say marketing anymore. So, but my guest today is Danielle Coffin. Now, Danielle, it's cold where you are. Where exactly are you?
I'm in Melbourne. So, okay. Yeah, middle of winter.
Okay.
It's pretty crisp.
And we've got the heater blasting in there, keeping you warm, yeah?
yep, that's the background noise.
Okay, so cool. All right, well, first of all, tell us a little bit about you. You've obviously been in marketing for a fair few years, but give us the edited highlights of Danielle's career.
So pretty squiggly career, but yeah, started in at uni, literally after finishing year 12, studying marketing. As my dad said I'd be good at it, I didn't really know what it was. I fell in love with it, just the people side, the psychology side, the communication side, like everything about it really resonated with my personality and my strengths. Started an internship at IBM at the age of 20 in marketing, and okay. Yeah, that kind of kick-started my career. So about 18 years, so not trying to tell you my age, but it's just been such a fun, I just, yeah, lived overseas, did all of the things whilst, you know, still building my career. Had my own side ventures, have worked in-house, have worked agency, have worked as a consultant. So kind of seen every side of the marketing landscape and from different lenses. So that's kind of got me to where I am today, to actually run my own consultancy and fractional marketing kind of offer that I have for some retainer clients, and then I have some kind of other offers for people that aren't as like ongoing. I just love it. And I just think that, you know, to me, marketing is quite simple. And I think the industry and everyone in it can overcomplicate it. And now with AI, it has kind of brought a whole different dimension to marketing and growth and all of those different aspects of business, and lowered the barrier for everyone to be a marketer.
So what's been your highlight of the career so far? What's the favorite bit that you could go back to if you could?
To be honest, it's right now. Okay. Yeah, I know that sounds maybe a bit fluffy, but I've been literally working towards running my own kind of consultancy and managing my own hours and owning my time for about the last 7 years. I've been working towards this, and this year I was able to financially be able to do it. You know, we've got a young family, mortgage, all of the things, so I didn't do it willy-nilly. There was a lot of thought, a lot of planning, a lot of preparation. So I'm just absolutely loving my weeks. I wake up Monday morning just so excited.
Cool. Well, look, we're going to talk about AI today, because obviously it's everyone's favorite subject to talk about at the moment, especially its impact on marketing and design and creative and all the other aspects of growing a business. But before we sort of do that, because the title for this was Why AI is making Bad Marketing. And I kind of wanted to get an understanding of what you define as bad marketing, because that's a fairly open-ended, you know, statement in terms of, or an open-ended definition as anyway.
Yes. So, I mean, from the outset, you don't know if people's marketing is working or not, because you're not inside the business. So what might look like it's working might not be underneath. And that's where kind of I look at it differently, because I've had so much exposure to businesses, the inside of businesses. Working in agency, we had about 20 clients at any one time. So we had like a front row seat to their data, what was working and what wasn't working. And a lot of it wasn't working. And you know, there's all those vanity metrics of like, oh, they've got so many likes, they've got so many followers, all of the things that can really make you look like you're doing well to someone else. But at the end of the day, it's the conversion metrics of sales, leads, booked calls, you know, all of those really, really strong metrics that's what you need to be looking at as a business owner over, oh, did that go viral? Or why did we, you know, did we get that many, how many likes did we get? Or how many impressions? And I'm like, how much traffic did we, even traffic to the website? I'm like, yeah, cool, but is it converting? What's your bounce rate? So, you know, having that exposure, I now see as well with all of the AI use, you can kind of see an AI produced, you know, ad or a social post or even website from a mile away, because they haven't done the foundations. And so if you don't have your foundations right, you are feeding AI just absolute BS. And it's just not going to produce the outcomes and the growth and you know, at the end of the day, everyone wants sales from their marketing, right? That's what we're doing marketing for. So, you know, it's just starting to kind of help business owners and leaders in businesses start to kind of call out some of the BS that they might be fed by their agency or their marketing team or even themselves, they don't know, to try and help them really get those foundations right so that then you can produce good marketing that actually works and converts.
Let's take it back a bit before, like, let's go back 3 or 4 years, because obviously we didn't want to talk about how old you are and how old I am, but you've alluded to, you know, almost a 20-year career in marketing. Before AI rolled around, what was bad marketing then? What would have you called out, even maybe before social media? Maybe, you know, what is taking AI out of it, because we know the slot that can produce. But yeah, what is bad marketing?
Yeah, so mine is my take on it, and this doesn't matter what channel you're using, how you're getting your word out there. If you don't know who you're talking to and you don't have messaging that actually helps them feel heard and understood, then you're not going to cut through to your audience. No matter where you're doing that, whether it's an event marketing, whether it's big billboards, whether it's radio, whether, you know, back in the day when we kind of, you know, were doing that more, whether it was, you know, commercials, you know, you just, those, that's kind of the main crux of it. And I see it time and time again that people get into business and a lot of them are technicians, you know, they're good at some sort of technical thing, whether it be hairdressing, whether it be making something with wooden things, candles, whatever, you're good at that. And then suddenly you have to know how to do business and market yourself. They're not good at doing that. And so suddenly you're trying to talk to someone to sell them something or promote something that you're trying to sell, but you actually haven't done the nitty-gritty work to really understand who they are, what their, you know, motivations, and I'll go into this as part of my, like, you know, ways to fix, you know, bad marketing. And yeah, so if you, and you don't have the time to do that, because suddenly you're like, I need to make money, I'm stressing. And you get into that kind of rat race cycle, and it's not till, you know, maybe you make a certain amount that you start kind of building on that, but you haven't still done the foundations of who you're actually talking to. And I think people get a bit scared, so they start to broaden their audience parameters, which can sometimes dilute then your messaging.
Well, I guess the sort of next question I have is how is you feel obviously AI is amplifying the problems rather than fixing problems. You know, often we were told in marketing throughout the years that more output is supposed to help. Like, you know, if you listen to, if you listen to the likes of someone like Gary V, you know, mm-hmm. you know, not years ago, but in the near past, he would sort of say, you know, just volume of content, volume of engagement out is the solution. The more you do, the more these channels will notice you, the more you'll get shown to the customers, the bigger your business will grow. And obviously what we're seeing now is that solution to a degree on steroids, because, you know, AI is doing it all for us. Have we sort of gone out the other side, or do you think that more is better was never actually the right solution?
I think it is if you are giving the right content. So, you know, Gary Vee is very much around the give, and then you ask to receive. So, you know, he gives a lot of free advice, a lot of free tips, a lot of this. And I think, you know, he's very, you know, he understands who he's talking to as well.
Yeah.
So, the producing more and more content, that's not the issue here. I think the issue here is they're producing content that is either confusing, it's not consistent on message, on brand, it might even contradict each other. And I'm a big, you know, if I'm reading someone's content, suddenly they've brought something in that they, you know, I've got a bit of an elephant memory. A few weeks ago, they said something different. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? Okay, I'm starting to lose trust in this brand. And so it's just very, you've got to be careful. If you're pushing out a lot of content, you really need to have those foundations strong so that you are staying consistent. Because once you start pushing out inconsistent messaging, that's when you start losing trust, which is what I just kind of was saying before. And then you start confusing your audience. And then once you confuse, you lose.
Before we come on to the sort of solution side of things, your sort of, you know, the three things that you're going to talk about in terms of fixing this, it's probably worth stressing that this isn't an anti-AI argument. It's not saying, you know, we need to go back to the basics of writing stuff down with a pen and paper, you know. You know, so it's, but the struggle I think a lot of businesses see is that they don't know where the line is. They don't know where the line between making something better and something worse is. Do you kind of have any ideas as to how businesses should sit to understand where that line is?
Yeah, so I think what I say to my clients and things is just like, what can you physically do? Like, from a resource perspective, are you able to push out content every day, or is that going to stress you out? You know, because we're starting to kind of come out the other side a little bit with, you know, the way that we consume content. You know, I have real strict restrictions on myself with my phone and my social apps and the way I consume content. And I know a lot of other people are starting to do that too, because we've kind of gone down here and then out the other side, like we do with everything that's new and exciting and different. And then we realize the behavior of it isn't probably as healthy as we thought. And so that's where we start to be a bit more discerning and start to, you know, put those human barriers and boundaries around ourselves. And so I think, you know, a little bit we have been consuming content so much and so rapidly that, you know, sometimes we forget to enjoy life and be in the real world. The amount of kids I see walking with just their head down, don't even see me walking in front of them and looking at their phones. And so I think, you know, there's definitely a line, and I just say to, you know, the business owners or leaders, you know, what can you, from a resource perspective or from a realistic point of view, like what can you produce each week from a content perspective? What makes sense for your business as well? So instead of like, oh, we have to be the next Gary V, which is, not the business model I want. I don't want to be in front of the camera all the time. But, you know, he does. And I know other people, I've got other friends who do want that. Mm. They've got a camera person with them all the time. And, you know, all of that drivers, they can do content in between meetings and stuff. And I'm like, that's awesome for them. But is that what you want? So I think that's just part of that, like, self-awareness and really figuring out what you want for your brand, because once you start producing that content and you get known for that, it's kind of hard to kind of stop and change and divert.
Yeah. Well, look, let's think about this, the three things that you that you'd flag mm-hmm. to sort of fix this. Any particular order that you want to approach them in?
Yeah. So the first one is 100% knowing your audience, because that filters into the next kind of two steps. So this is not like, you know, putting together a demographic of, you know, females aged 20 to 30 who live in this area. Like, yes, that forms part of it, but it's really getting into the deeper side of what they need, what they don't even know they need, what are their pain points, what are their motivators, you know, how do they spend their day, where do they spend their time? So that you can really understand, you know, how you can get in front of those people. And then from there, you can start to figure out what kind of messaging and stuff is going to cut through. Because I always say to my clients that, you know, if you're trying to reach a cold audience, having kind of a problem solution style messaging is the best way to kind of get in front of that those people to take some sort of action, whether that be click something to your website, even download a free piece of resource, you know, a lead magnet that can get them into your email list.
Yep.
So kind of, you know, really understanding what their problems is and how your product or service is going to solve that is a key thing to kind of unpack here, as well as elephants in the room. So I know a lot of people like to shy away from things that are kind of, you know, taboo or gonna make their audience a little bit squirmy, which could be price. It could be, you know, one of the downsides of your product or service or something like that. But I'm like, call that out, honestly. Like, it's gonna help people feel seen and heard and understood, as well as going through objections that you might get when you're going down the process. So call out objections earlier.
Yeah.
And frequently asked questions. So there's a few things that can be unpacked in this to kind of really understand your audience better. And then, yeah, my kind of little actionable tip here is that one of the things that is really interesting around what motivates us is that as humans, we're actually more motivated to move away from pain than we are to move towards pleasure. So calling out pain points and things that might be, you know, they might be experiencing now, and then how you can solve those is a really strong place to start.
Yeah. Okay. So that's number one. What's the, and again, I think number one feels like traditional marketing, like what we were doing, you know, 20 years ago when we started out, you know, started our careers. And just before we sort of jump onto number two, I think one of the solutions or one of the processes behind number one is to, which I think a lot of people forget to do, is actually go and talk to the customers, is use a level of market research and, you know, to actually sit down with them and go, you know, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? And, you know, how can we help you? And those kind of, those like nice long open questions where you get some insights from them.
Yeah.
You know, rather than making assumptions based on, you know, even if you've got data, never make the assumptions based on that data. You need to sort of find out the motivation behind that data.
Mm-hmm. It's the emotional motivations, which you can't get from data. And I think as well, what I say to my clients as well is, don't just pick any customers. Like, who are your like best customers, who you want to get more of those people in, you know, so you can think about like-minded, you know, okay, what motivated you to need this, you know, and all of that stuff. So it's really important. And then a really easy thing, you know, a low-hanging fruit to action.
Okay, so number two, what's your sort of suggestion?
Yeah, so number two is then starting to really pad out some really strong messaging and a really strong value proposition. So this is where you talk about your audience, not about you, which we can all get really, you know, it's really easy to start talking about ourselves, like we do this, our mission is this, we do that. I think you need to flip the script, and it really needs to be about your audience. So using what you've done in, you know, unpacked in the number one of round, you know, knowing your audience and stuff is then really, and you can use AI to help you kind of craft this, but really having some strong messaging, some strong positioning and value proposition statement that really brings the value you're going to bring to that audience. And making sure that you kind of have, I like to have it on like one or two max pages, because once it starts to go down to like an 18-page document, which I have seen from many clients, I'm like, you ain't gonna remember that. and I get, you know, you wanna feed AI with a lot of this stuff and train your AI agents and whatever platforms you're using to understand your audience. But if you have too many different messages, it can again start to dilute your content and your marketing. So my thing as well here is, you know, marketing is not about saying 100 things once. It's about saying one thing 100 times. So consistent, you know, repetition, because as we said before, we're all consuming content so rapidly. And if I see something here and then I see it here and then I see it there and then I see it there and it's all the same messaging and then I get an email about it, it starts to cut through, right? So I think it used to be kind of the 7 touches of marketing, and now I think we're looking at like 15, because we are just in a content driven world. And a lot of it is white noise. So I think, starting to really unpack those messages, and again, you know, talking to your customers about it, talking to your clients, starting, you know, I also do research around competitors here. Okay, what are they doing? How are they doing it? And then also like forums and things where your audience might be hanging out. Reddit, I know that sounds bad, but there's a lot of people trying to get answers and asking questions on Reddit. Facebook groups that kind of are in your industry or the type of work you do. So, you know, there's really interesting places where you can find this content. And again, like you can help, AI can help you do a lot of this research as well. But you need to prompt it properly. Otherwise, you're just going to get crap in, crap out.
That's an interesting conversation, because, you know, I'll give you an example. Me and my business partner have been having a similar conversation with Claude in the last couple of weeks. And but we both ask slightly different questions, so the conversation goes off in a different direction. And I think there's obviously a danger, as you say, that if you ask the wrong questions, you get the wrong answers. And sometimes, you know, sometimes actually understanding the questions you should be asking is the first step of all of this. Otherwise you just end up going in a circle of, you know, you just end up producing a false, what I would call false positive. You get the answer to something that you think's right, but that wasn't the problem in the first place.
And it, you know, AI doesn't have a frontal lobe, so it can't kind of, you know, when it clients ask me questions, I'll be like, oh, do you mean this? Like, because I can kind of troubleshoot and figure out kind of what they're trying to do without, whereas AI is, they want to please you. So, I actually prompt, I tell my Claude to say, you're my devil's advocate. Like, tell me this is crap. and that actually does give another lens, which I've done for a few things recently, and I'm like, oh, that's actually really good. And yeah, because you don't want to just have someone pandering to you the whole time, because it's just not how you're going to grow.
Okay, third and final kind of tip in terms of handling the AI here.
Yep. So the final thing is a channel strategy. So this is where, instead of being on every platform known to mankind or womankind, whatever we can say now, actually think through back to your audience and knowing where they are, where they hang out, what channels do you need to be on? And it doesn't have to be all digital. Where do you need to be? Do you need to be at a certain expo every year? Do you need to be at certain networking events? Do you need to be, sponsoring an event or a podcast, or where do you need to be? Where are your audience hanging out, and where are they going to be taking notice? So obviously there's the social media and lower barrier, less expensive platforms like social media, where you can show up on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and LinkedIn and all of those places. But are your audience there? Like, you need to be a bit more discerning around it. Like, I've had clients, say, oh, I think we need to be on TikTok. And I was like, why? You're not targeting anyone under the age of 30. And they were like, oh, my daughter said, I should. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, let's just be a bit careful. So I think it's just really thinking through and using that human brain. It is just such a wonderful thing to figure out, a lot of it is trial and error too, but finding out where your customers did find you again, talking to your customers again. How did you find me? So
Sorry,
yeah, it's just, I think,
we lost. I
back
lost. I
to
got.
talking to your customers. I'm not sure if it cut out just
Yeah,
before.
no, I got cut out there. I don't. I think one of us got cut out there. So
Yeah, okay.
that's all right.
Yeah,
We'll
I'll just
sort
say
that. We'll sort out that in the edit. So yeah.
Yeah, so I think just not having to be everywhere, but really thinking through that, and you can do that, through chatting to your customers again, and doing that kind of audience research to really figure out, okay, where am I gonna be able to cut through and be noticed?
Okay. Look, I think there's a lot of good insights there. I think there's a lot of good ideas. I think the general gist I get from that is that AI is there to support, not traditional marketing, but more solid marketing approaches rather than replace all of those. Is that sort of a fair conclusion for what you're saying here?
Yeah, so really having those marketing foundations understood from your end so that you can prompt your AI to really do good marketing for you and cut through to your audience.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time today.
No, thank you for having
Apologies about
me.
the little glitch at the end there. But hopefully that didn't affect anybody else. Look, if people want to reach out to find you, what's the best way of getting in contact with you?
Yeah, so my Instagram is my marketing makeover. That's my handle. Or my website is mymarketingmakeover.com. They're kind of the two avenues best to contact me on. And then I'm also on LinkedIn as well. So.
And of course, you're on the SEMO website as well. I'd have to keep telling
Yes.
everybody that as well. So,
I'm a
thank you
perfectionist.
very much for that.
Sorry.
Some great insights. Really appreciate your time today.
No worries, Simon. Thank you so much for having me.